Hey everyone, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to get a job at a startup.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
But before that, we're going to give the disclaimer that Heaton is under extreme distress of allergies, under attack. So his brain might be operating at normal human levels, not superhuman levels, just episode. So why did we want to talk about this? I know that we've had this request, I think, from a bunch of people, but it's been on our list of things to talk about as well. But I'm curious how you think about this to kind of – and why we want to talk about it before we even start talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're always talking about the company founder perspective, right? And we're not talking about like a team member in the company perspective. And I think this can be valuable for anybody. More importantly, I'm pretty sure we don't just have, you know, founders and executives and CEOs and people like that on the podcast. Listening to it, I'm sure we have a lot of team members inside of companies. In fact, I'm damn sure of that. And so I was just thinking that like, you know, this is a topic that you and I probably not even deal with, like talking about it a lot, I would assume, but more like on a personal level, like in our companies. And we probably had great experiences. Once you hire like dozens of people, if not like hundreds, you kind of start getting a feel for like how people come into a company, the ways it happens, what are great ways you as a founder might think of. So I think it's just something good for you and I to talk about and sort of add to this kind of repository of these ideas that we've had and, you know, things we're thinking about.
Cool. So maybe we want to divide this up. Maybe we're going to split it in how to get a job at a startup if you've never had a job at a startup. And then maybe for the more seasoned startup team members, hey, what do you do when you want to get kind of a really amazing job, or if you want to step up in your career and go from the startup that you were at a much bigger one or better one? Kind of let's explore both of them. We'll see if we get to both of them, but let's start with the new ones probably, right?
Yeah, you've never worked at a startup.
Yep.
Maybe you've worked in what most people would call like a corporation, like a corporate job. Let's just call it a corporate job, enterprise company, larger company, bureaucratic company, even if it's a small business. All those are about the same. Not a startup, right?
Yep.
Not that a startup isn't bureaucratic, but it shouldn't be in the beginning, hopefully. And so this is awesome, by the way, that you started there, because I've been helping somebody who is doing a bunch of consulting now after she left her job, and she's dealing with this exact problem because she's trying to do consulting for startups and services, which is viable but different. And then someone else I just talked to today, I was interviewing for a friend of mine, and he currently works at a corporate job. He's thinking about joining as a product manager at a friend of mine's company. And I was interviewing him today, actually, and talking to him, really just meeting him, not even interviewing him, and had some things to say about it. So the first thing I'll just say, and then I'm sure this will kick off some really interesting ideas in your head, Stelly, is basically one thing I told him was like, look, you're in a environment right now. It's a corporate environment. There's a bunch of structure and things around it. And then don't think of it like I'm going from a corporate environment to a startup. Think of it more like there's a working environment there, and there's a maybe different, slightly or a lot different working environment in the startup you're working at. And you just have to see if you're going to prefer the startup one over the current one that you have, if you really are. You know, and don't think of it as such a daunting thing. It's just a different environment. Like the speed at a startup is probably ideally you're going at warp speed. He used that terminology with me actually first. So I was like, oh, so you guys, and the first thing I asked him was, the company you work at right now, you know, from the outside, it looks like they're slow. And then he just completely started breaking it down for me on why they're slow, how they should be faster, how he's pushing for them to be faster. So you know what's going off in my head, right? I'm like, oh, you should definitely work at my friend's startup.
All right, so I love that. And funny enough, we didn't coordinate this, but I was just on a walk with a person that we might hire, and she comes from a very kind of corporate background, actually. And I was just having a chat with her about this. The reason why we started the episode the way we did is that Heaton just told me, and this is kind of background info for the listeners, Heaton was just like, take the first thing we had on the bullet list of topics to talk about and let's just go. I don't even want to know what it is. So, but it seems like it's very relevant today in terms of the context of our
days. The world is awesome, dude. There Sometimes it just works, right?
It falls into place. So there's a few things I love about what you said. One is, I think that people that have never worked at a startup, they have an idea about what it's like to be at a startup, right? They have some kind of an idea, either they, you know, from hearing about it from friends, from reading in books, from reading blog posts, from watching movies, they've collected some stories and ideas. They have some kind of an image in their mind of what it will be like. And for whatever reason, that has been appealing to them enough to make them want to, you know, to ask the question, should I work at a startup, or I do want to, or get to the answer, I want to work at a startup, right? And I think that it's important that you tell yourself when you're in that situation, awesome, I want to, I'm curious about this, I want to explore this, this might be for me, but I think it's important to to approach this more of a, this is something I've never done and I want to experience and do, versus this is something I'm sure I want to and I'm fully committed and I know it's the right thing for me, because it might not be. And it's okay if it's not. Not to say that you shouldn't be committed, but I do think that people that have never worked in that kind of an environment, you know, want to approach this with curiosity and an open mind. And you don't want to join a startup with the tyranny of ambition of going, I'm going to join there and I don't have a lot of experience, so I'm going to show them that I'm right, quote unquote, for a startup. And I'm going to show them how entrepreneurial I am. And then you're basically, all you're trying to do is to try to create a career within a startup, and you're trying to impress everybody and you're trying to be a certain way that you think you need to be. And all of a sudden, you know, you really like nice shirts and jackets, and now you're always wearing funny, you know, geeky t-shirts. Because, like, you just try to be this persona. In the process, you might lose out on evaluating yourself. Is this really for me? You know, just like you said, there's a in the corporate world, there's a work environment, there's humans you work with in a certain way to accomplish certain things, and a startup is a collection of humans trying to accomplish something in certain ways. These are just different ways to do work. Go and figure out if this is for you. I think that that's really important, and that it's not just a one-way street in the sense of us as entrepreneurs or startup people evaluating somebody who wants a job with us, but equally for them to evaluate if this is the right job for them and the right environment for them. And it might be, but it might not be, right? And I think that it's important to keep that option open to really get to a good answer quickly.
What I like about that is that it relates to something that gentleman told me today. He basically started off saying, I just want to learn. I just want to learn about startups. I don't know about how working in a startup. And so I just want to learn what it's like, you know, because currently I've always had a corporate job. I used to work, he used to work at a really big, like, CPG, consumer product good company. And, you know, he just wanted to learn. And I think one of the reasons in his case, because this is not always what you hear in the beginning when someone wants to talk to you about working in a startup. But I think one of the reasons that he kind of already gravitated towards that is we're interviewing him to be a product manager. And he right there demonstrated one of my favorite things about product managers is they're super curious, but they're learning focused. And so I agree with you, obviously, but I can't stress enough. It's just like, you just, if you're thinking of working a startup, start with learning. How is it different? What's it going to be like? What are you actually going to enjoy it compared to where you're at?
The other thing I think that's important, and we can just keep rocking and rolling with thoughts and seeing what kind of tips and things we can brainstorm on. But, you know, I think that when it comes to getting a job at a startup, just like with anything else, I think it's important to, you know, take as many baby steps as possible and take them immediately. So today you have a corporate job. Tomorrow you might want to work at a startup. There's a world in between those two things. And it can be one step where you just go from corporate job, you apply to startup, and you just start working at that startup tomorrow. But you could also go to a startup weekend event, or you could start, you know, trying to start a side business, not necessarily because your ambition is to forever have, you know, a WordPress consulting business on the side, or a, you know, whatever it is, a small app business, but maybe doing that on the side as you have your corporate job is a way for you to build your entrepreneurial and startup muscle and IQ to make experiences that are going to be really relevant and useful for the startup that you're going to ultimately want to work for. And, you know, you can start going to events. You can start seeking out friendships and relationships with people that are working at startups, right? There's a lot of things you can do between I've always been a corporate, you know, person or had a corporate job and I'm seeking to have a startup job. There's a shit ton of things you can do one step between the other. Now, you need to not confuse all these things as equating them with the same as working in a startup. But they can all be useful tools for you to learn. You can read a lot. You can listen to podcasts like this, read blog posts, there's books, there's blog posts. All these things are not substitute for the real thing, but they can be useful, you know, pointers and ways to learn the language, to learn the thinking process, to learn from other people's experiences on the way to getting that job. And I think that just to finish that thought, one of the most important pieces of advice that I would give people that want a job at a specific startup is instead of, I mean, yes, you can apply for the job. You know, applying for a job is always free. Why not? You just do it. But on top of that, go online, go on LinkedIn and look at all the people that worked, that are working for that startup and see if you find any people that are similar in background or close in proximity and reach out to those people and go, hey, Bob, I see you work at Close.io. I'm really interested in getting a job there. I don't have a lot of startup experience, but I'd love to grab, you know, a coffee with you or invite you to lunch or just get 5 minutes with you on the phone and just learn more about how you got the job at Close.io and how you got the job in the startup world. I see that you have a corporate background as well, whatever it is. And you'll see that these people, just normal people that work at that startup, they're going to be mostly super friendly and very open to helping somebody else out, especially the type of people that have a similar background, also had a corporate job beforehand. And try to find these people that have successfully done what you are about to do, which is find a job at that company and learn from them, build relationships with them. And obviously, if those relationships go well, if these people like you and they think that you'd be a good fit, that will be a very easy foot in the door in getting attention at that startup. Was that too much? Are you still there? Hey, Heaton, you still there?
yeah, I'm here. All right, check this out. I think we should switch gears. You gave so many great tips and really, I don't know, I couldn't have said it better. So if you're looking for a job and you're in enterprise company, corporate, whatever you want to call it, really large company, a lot different than a traditional kind of, you know, small company startup, then, you know, I think you kind of summed it up on how you should be thinking about it. I don't think there's too many ways to think about it here. You know, you're changing environments. That's going to be very challenging, and you want to make sure you use all these strategies to make sure that you have the best, you know, the best evaluation. Because, you know, the side we didn't talk about, Steli, is the fact that, like, a lot of people will join and leave and go back to corporate. This happens more often than not. So I think, you know, taking it slowly and all these things that we both said, especially all those tips that you just said, I think those are all key. So do you want to talk about more like just trying to get a different job at a startup, like hopping from one startup to another? Steli.
Now I'm just fucking with you.
I know you are. This was good.
Okay, yeah, let's fucking do it. You're absolutely right. Let's talk about that.
All right. So, you know, one thing I got to mention on this one, just to riff, because I see this a lot, is like, it's always weird. And this is just what founders do. And like, I've done this with all founders, is like, when we look at a candidate and you've been hopping around every 1 to 1.5 years, and it's like about that too, I'll tell you, like, hey, at least you stayed two. Something might be up, you know, like it might be you. It might not be those cultures and those companies, because, you know, it's easy to be like, oh, they're not a good culture fit at the company, so they left or whatever, right? And they're looking for a better fit. That's like a nice politically correct way to talk about things, but it's always there's much more to it. And if you're a hopper, you know, my first question is, why do you keep hopping?
Yeah, well, that's a really important point, right? Yeah, I mean, that's something in general. I don't look at resumes really, really carefully, kind of just fly over them really fast. But one thing that will make me slow down, all I'm looking for when I look at resumes is red flags, right? And one thing that will make me slow down is when I see 6 months, 3 months, 4 months, 9 months, 6 months, and I go, whoa, what's up with this person, right? Why is this person just switching jobs
all
the
time? I feel
like
that's an automatic one. Right. Yeah, I'm talking about the middle ground. I totally agree with you. I'm talking about the middle ground. Right. And I get that you fly through the resumes. I'm just looking at LinkedIn. Right. Or I'm doing a Google search and trying to find a website they have. Right. I agree with you. The details aren't very important. Usually it's more about high level stuff and like these timelines, because like you're trying to figure out if they're going to stay, because when you hire somebody, your expectation is that they're going to stay for a while, whatever a while means. Let's say 2 years, you know, in startup land.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because you make a significant investment. Like onboarding a new employee is a significant investment. Investment of time, of money, resources, emotions. You try to get the entire company to fall in love with this person, to give this person anything and everything they need to succeed. And it's going to take, you know, whatever it is, even if they're really, really fast and good, it's going to take some weeks, if not months. And then them leaving means that all of that was a pure loss. There's no return on it. So that's very, very expensive. So you're trying to avoid these losses.
So I think, you know, just in the vein of the title of this, like we should actually, you know, talk about like what are the tips we would give somebody trying to hire? And one thing we could do, Steli, is like if you have a good story. So I'm just going to share a good story of like a really great experience, you know, and I'll shout out to the person too. So this was, I might have talked about this before, but it was like probably, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago. And a gentleman named Charles Liu, he likes to be called Chuck. So Chuck sent a love letter to our head of customer support at the time, product person actually, who was also doing customer support, and said, I want to work in customer support at Kissmetrics. I'm sorry. Yeah, Kissmetrics. I forget some of the companies now. Anyways, and we hired him, and he was one of the best team members on the team that we didn't know before we started the company. And it was just because he sent a love letter. It was very well crafted. It was very thoughtful. And he was spot on about, you know, he just proved that he was really wanted the job and did more than his homework. I mean, he was spot on about literally everything he said about the company and what he wanted to do and where we could use the help. So he did his homework and then some. And it was a love letter. It's like, I want to work here. And here are all the reasons why. And here's what I think I can do.
Love that story. So I'll share two just to top you. A successful one and a potentially successful one and an unsuccessful one. So just recently, I had someone reach out. So this person was very kind of engaged even before with like sometimes responding to my daily sales motivation video. So the person is a subscriber to that.
Cool.
And once in a while, at a quote, that person would reply and share something really thoughtful about it or appreciate the quote for the day or something along those lines. And then just recently, that person looped me in on a conversation that was going on some kind of a Facebook group where that person kind of advocated for me speaking at some kind of an event and you know, telling people all about, you know, me and Close.io, and was saying, hey, I've received so much value from the content. I'm such a massive fan of what you guys are doing at Close.io. I've been following you guys forever. There's all these places on the web where I see people talking about things where they should know about you guys and they don't, and it drives me crazy. And I just want to be helpful in like spreading the word. I think you can have a massive impact, and I want to just help more with this. What can we do to convince these people to invite you to this conference or whatever the hell it was, right? So I had to laugh and I responded. I was very appreciative of it, obviously, and you know, mentioned like they shouldn't worry about this. This is a conference I won't be able to go to anyways, and they're right. We're not as well known as we should be. We're working on this every day. And we brainstormed a little bit back and forth, and it was just clear that this person was very genuine, very passionate and thoughtful. Just the interaction in email was just thoughtful and smart. And kind of high energy, but in a really good way. And then eventually the person, you know, at first it was just about like, hey, here's all the places that I'm advocating and I'm promoting you guys anyways, because I love what you do. And then it was, listen, what can we do to get you more reach? And then the next step was the person went, okay, let me be honest. I really want to work for you. You know, I've been thinking about this for a really long time. And I want to do anything and everything. Is there something that's currently a problem? Is there something that you have a challenge? Here's all the things that I can think of. The person really went through a fairly thoughtful process of showing both an intent to be useful and helpful, also some self-awareness of where they are and what they can and probably cannot do, but then also making themselves really vulnerable at the end of that exchange of saying, I'm just going to say it honestly. Everything I said before is true, but really at the core of what drives me, why I'm writing all this and why I've been following for a long while is I want to work at this company at some point in some way. And that made me go, all right, let's jump on a call and talk, right? And it just shows...
He added a lot of value first.
It's actually a she. So
no, she added a lot of value first.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. It was value. It was authentic. It was baby steps, right? At first, it was just engaging with the content. Eventually, it was like talking to me about one specific conversation that's going on in the web. And then eventually, you know, she got to the confidence level of going, you know what? Just to be honest, the reason I'm saying all these things, the reason why I've been following, like, I really want to be part of this this company, of this story. I want to do anything and everything to make a difference and help you guys in what you do. And that gets your, that, they'll get, you know, that got my attention, right? And that made me leap into and go, I want to give this person time. I want to know more about this person, right? I want to figure out, is there a way for us to work together? Very quickly, because this was a long one, I'll give a counterexample to this. Some guy sends me an email, tell me how amazing he is at sales and marketing, telling me that he's this insane ninja, and tell me about all these brilliant ideas he has that we haven't probably considered yet for Close.io, and then tell me that I need to hire him ASAP. From that email, so he sent me one email out of the blue, never engaged with me before, and it was very long, and it was... It sounded like somebody that's smart and very motivated and very energetic, but it also sounded like somebody that's not very self-aware, right? Or very experienced.
Interesting. That's what you're deducing from that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't read you the entire thing, but it was a long email that was basically giving me the sense that the quality of this person's ideas and the confidence in which he presented these ideas is like they are the best thing ever, and I know my shit and everything.
Made me go.
This person is probably very young, very ambitious, very smart, but not experienced.
Overconfident.
Awesome. Not that self-aware.
Makes sense.
So my reply to this person was, "Hey, awesome. Appreciate all of this. Can you tell me a little bit about your background? What have you done so far?" And he sends me back a bunch of shit that's basically nothing. It's like, you know, just no real work experience. Like, you know, I have friends that have a startup and I told them some really great ideas. I've worked on this project. I've done this, I've done that, but nothing really material. So I replied him back and I said, and I looked at his LinkedIn, I looked at his Twitter, I'm trying to do a little bit of research, and I go, you know what, right now, you don't fit the experience level that we need for this. You seem awesome and I want to be there for you in your development and your growth. I might have to work for you tomorrow, you know, at the rate that you're going. But I don't think right now it's a fit, but let's stay in touch and let me know if I can help you with anything. And his response was like, hey, I get that I might not have the experience in your opinion, but did you know that Mark Zuckerberg didn't hire one of the founders of WhatsApp because they didn't think he is good enough? Well, that cost Mark Zuckerberg, you know, a gazillion dollars. Don't make the mistake. You can always hire me, and if I'm not great, you can let me go. But I think it'd be stupid of you not to hire me. And that only made me more think like it's probably not worth hiring this person right now.
No way.
Right? Because it speaks from a youthful and beautiful ignorance that hiring people is not nothing. It's not nothing. And I might make a mistake once in a while. I can live with that because I can't get everything right. And Mark Zuckerberg didn't have to get everything right. He's in a pretty good place with Facebook, right? Even with making hiring mistakes in the past. So... a lot of people will hear me say, you have to show up, don't ask for permission, go get them, and present myself in a very kind of enthusiastic way. But I also want people to be thoughtful. And sometimes I get these emails from people that are overconfident, that lack self-awareness, and that are like, I'm the best person ever. You need to hire me right now. I get this actually a lot. You need to hire me right now, and I'm going to do all these amazing things for you. And then when I'm a little skeptical on it, they're like, you are making the biggest mistakes of your life. And it's like, no, that's not how you sell me on working with you.
Yeah, just to give my two cents on that, I think, you know, you might be just putting out a vibe of, you know, overconfidence, just to think about it, right? If you're getting a lot of people trying to, you know, come at you a certain way. So I'm actually really glad you brought that up because, you know, I think you're very confident. I don't ever think you're overconfident. And maybe, you know, people feel like they should be, maybe they're intimidated to the point where they need to be like more confident than you. That would be my thesis. Anyways.
But I think coming back to the original point, I think that if you want to land a job at a startup or anywhere really, but especially at a startup, you wanna provide value first. Like, can you engage with their content? Can you comment on their blog post? Can you really get to know the company? Can you really show an interest? And then when you connect and you reach out, maybe you do it in a way where you provide value first. We have lots of people, and we've made an episode and published it just recently about all the people that are supporting us with this podcast, and some of them doing the work for free. We've added a bunch of cool new people that are doing amazing work for us to build a relationship, and then at some point they might work for us, we might work for them, right? We might invest in them, but they're creating value, they're providing value, and they're showing up to help before they ask for something in the return. They don't send you and me a cold email and go, I'm the best thing you've never heard of and you need to hire me ASAP, I'm going to change your life, right? Because usually people that are the best thing ever and will change our lives are not going to send that kind of an email.
No, they're going to prove it first.
Yes.
Whether it's, yeah. Whether it's, the lady that kept proving it to you before she, asked for a job, or the love letter, it was like, these people are proving that they really care. And that they will, they're almost demonstrating how they're going to be when they work with you on the team. And I think that kind of stuff is great, because that saves you a lot of trouble of like hiring them and then figuring out they don't have the startup hustle, or they can't fit in with the company and how the company thinks. So that's cool.
And then, because we're running late on this episode, let's maybe just finish up with some tips. And I'm going to give I don't have a tip, but I have a resource for you. If you're not satisfied, if you want more information on how to get a job at a startup, there's a blog post, and we'll link it up in the episode notes. If you go to thestartupchat.com and you look for this episode, you'll see it in the show notes. There's a blog post I wrote about permission being for suckers, and how when I first came to the US and I started my startup, one person that eventually became my co-founder hired himself as an intern first and then turned himself into a co-founder, all by just hustling his ass off and never asking for anything. He literally just had a bunch of Skype calls with me. It was a big fan of what I was doing. And he asked me at one of the Skype calls, are you really busy, Steli? And I said, yes. And then 3 weeks later, I got an email that he quit his college and he's on a flight to San Francisco to start working for free here to help us.
Wow.
So he's today a very successful founder in San Francisco himself, an amazing person to learn from or how to get a job. He hired himself. I never gave him a job. He just quit his life, bought a ticket to San Francisco from Europe. And I was like, I can't deny this person, right? I'm going to go and pick him up at least and then see how it works out. And he just worked so hard and was so amazing that he turned himself ultimately to a co-founder in the business. So this is, to me, my favorite example for if you really want a gig at a startup, you can make it happen. But you have to do it by providing value and by showing up, not just by sending long emails. He didn't send me a long email telling me how amazing he would be for me and then being all pissy and whiny if I don't give him an official offer. He just showed up and took it, right? And then proved himself. If he wasn't great, I would have just let him go after a week. But he proved that he was awesome. So if you want to know more about that story, there's going to be a link about this. But in general, if you want something live, you have to go and get it. And especially in startups, filling out an application might be enough, but in many cases, it might not be. If you want to get the attention of people like Heaton or myself, you have to stand out, you have to provide value, you have to really go for it. That's really my tip for the end of this episode.
Yeah, I'm gonna give a tip, and it's stupid, and I wish more people would do it. And it's simply like, do your homework. Like, if you're gonna go ask for a job at a company, which is basically what you're doing when you apply or email or whatever, when you reach out. Just do your homework. Like, know exactly what's going on there as much as you can. I mean, all companies now are pretty public. They have Twitter accounts, Facebook. You can look at their support. Some of them have transparent product roadmaps. I mean, do your homework and then apply, and apply with context. But I'm the, I love context. So of course I'm going to say that, right?
No, I love it.
I think that's a good one.
It's surprising how many people don't do it. It's heartbreaking. So I think it's a super important tip.
Yep.
Awesome. Great. All right, that's it from us for this week. We'll hear you guys very soon.